Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavirvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Even when born as Ravana, he was controlled by great lust for Sita. Thus he thought of Rama as a human being in the same way as Hiranyakashipu, even when he was killed by him. This verse shows that during the appearance of Ram, the Dima attained the same result. Tadvan means in a similar way that Hiranyakashipu thought Nrisimha was a living entity with pious acts. Thus, Ravana thought of Rama as a human being, even when killed by the hand of Rama. Text 60-61. Thus, when he was born again as Shishupala, he attained great wealth. In that birth as Shishupala, the cause of his uttering all names of Vishnu, such as Lotus-Eyed One, was actually Krishna.
Why thus he attained great wealth?
Because he was, means just like as when Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Lord, but he only thought him as a pious person. So the results he got were just in piety. So Ravana was the same and thought the same way. Therefore, he only got results in piety. So Shishupal was therefore wealthy also. You know, but according to the time, you know, so it's a different age, so therefore it comes down. Now it is explained that Shishupal attained liberation when being killed by Krishna because of the constant appearance of the Shakti of attractiveness, which causes liberation in Krishna. Right? So it's by being attracted to Krishna. That's what causes liberation. So for the devotees, it's because of their attraction to Krishna, which is natural. That's why they're automatically going to be liberated. It's not a separate endeavor. Right? Haridas Thakur's point is that even in Namabhas, the point is the devotee is attracted by the Lord. So he'll get liberation. The demons get liberation if they're attracted by the Lord. So why wouldn't the devotee? You know, it's not a matter of, no, it'd have to be advanced, it'd have to be this, that. No, namabhas is enough. Because we're talking about liberation, we're not talking about prema. See, the difficulty is due to conditioning. We take liberation as something serious. But actually, it's not. It's just like there's karma, there's jnana. You go back and forth between them. But serious is bhakti. So prema is actually the serious platform. So that you're not going to get with namabhas. That you'll only get with shuddhana. So namabhas will give liberation, will give material facility, all those different things that people consider so hard to obtain and so important. So that's why then Gopal Chapla was very upset that such important things in people's life, then Haridas Thakur was just saying, oh, you'll just get that by namabhas. Like that. So we see here is that he's attracted by Krishna, therefore you get liberation. Right? This verse speaks of the attractiveness which arises because of the power of the name and the form of Krishna. So attraction by that name and form, then one gets liberation. So the Mayavadis are thinking it's by their great austerities, by all these different things they'll get. No, it's by attraction to the Lord, because the Lord gives liberation. So technically they don't get. Text 62-64. By calling those names, he discerned that Vishnu was his enemy, who had killed him twice before. He constantly uttered all the names of Vishnu with great hatred and concentration and with an attitude of criticism and scolding. But we see here is constantly and with concentration.
Yes.
So he's always absorbed. So now he's always absorbed in the Lord, so that liberating element will come, but it won't give prema, because that has to be in devotion. Also, seeing his form with attractive features, he determined that he was seeing Vishnu, because before that, they simply thought he was a human being. Now he has the features that are more attractive, so now he's considered this must be Vishnu. And by uttering the names of Krishna, he remembered Krishna at all times and places. He thus became free of the multitude of sins which had caused his hatred of the Lord. Then, when Krishna threw his chakra, his demoniac tendencies were destroyed. Thus purified of all false beliefs, he saw the brilliant form of the Supreme Brahman in human form. By being killed by the chakra, his demon body was destroyed and he attained the embrace of the Supreme Brahman. Because he's seeing that his position as the Supreme, but it's not about it's attracted to, but it's not about the position of affection. Right? So therefore, as Supreme, because Supreme is also generic, then that comes out as Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Yeah. Here the sweetness of his form is described. It was that form described as having wide lotus eyes, etc. By the sweet names and sweet form of Krishna, piles of sins which produce his enmity for the Lord were destroyed. So those are destroyed, but it doesn't mean that he's not cultivated this bad attitude. But the sins that created it are gone. But now that's his practice. Then by association with the Lord's chakra, because otherwise, without association of the devotees, you will not have the proper understanding. He had his demoniac body destroyed and attained knowledge of Krishna as the greatest person. Right? So, in other words, his material existence was destroyed, and he understood the position of Krishna by the grace of the devotees. Right? But by constantly chanting the Lord's name, he became purified of all sins. Right? And so he's becoming purified even if it's not done nicely. Right? It's with concentration, means the process is well done, but the attitude is wrong. But it still works. That's the point. Even the attitude's wrong, if you stick to the process, you'll get the result. But now, if you have the right attitude, then you'll get prema. Does that make sense? Because sometimes the devotees will say, no, only in Shuddha Nam can you get liberation, but liberation's not a big deal. Right? Liberation is something else. You know, it's just like, let's say, the guy by, you know, Chinatown. I hope.
It seems that one gets more benefit in criticizing the Lord in Namabhas than criticizing the Vaishnavas.
Yes, because then you're remembering the Lord, that connection with the Lord, there's some interaction with the Lord, so that's there. But if you criticize the devotees, then you don't get any benefit at all. You lose any benefit because the devotees are dear to Krishna. Because for Krishna, then
Krishna
it's...
Krishna doesn't take the offense.
It's like this. Let us say, okay, you have a man who's, you know, very, you know, properly trained. He is, very, you know, confident in his position. So even if he understands relationships and that, so the wife criticizes him for various things and all that, it doesn't bother him because he knows that's just the nature of how ladies will interact. You know? Does that make sense? So it's not a problem. But somebody criticizes the wife, you got trouble. So that's the point, is that for the jiva, they deal with Krishna, even if they don't deal nicely, still you're dealing with Krishna. And so for him, it's an interaction. But his devotees, being very important, you can't deal improperly with them. Yeah, so there's a difference. Good point.
I was thinking about this very negative article that came out one time in a newspaper, and devotees were very upset. the Prabhupada, you have to respond strongly. The Prabhupada said, well, how many times have you mentioned Krishna in the Atman? He said, all over the world. Glorify Krishna.
Yeah.
As long as they don't criticize the Trinity.
Yes, that's the point. If they just, if it's only about Krishna, then at least they're talking about Krishna. You know, so that's why you see is that generally speaking, like, you know, Jatila and everyone, they're talking about Krishna all the time. So it's all in glorification of the Lord. It's just to create the various situations in which, you know, Radha Krishna can interact. You know, because they're all devotees. There's some pastime described by the acharyas where everybody's called together and they describe what their position is and what they're doing in you know, their function in the loka. So Jatila, Kotila, Abhimanyu, and everybody's all talking about that. You know, they're great devotees of Radha and Krishna. But the point is then to add to the pastimes, they take this up so that it creates these obstacles so that you can relish the pastimes more. So that it's just part of the arrangement. It's not that.
With that prema, he attained Sayuja, the embrace of the Lord. Because Swayam Rupa Krishna has a full manifestation of his Shakti of attraction, Shishupal attained qualification for the Lord. So here's the thing, is because it's the Swayam Rupa, he has a full manifestation of the Shakti of attraction, while Rama and the Sringa don't. They don't manifest. Not that they couldn't, but they just don't. Point is he's already doing it, Krishna. Why does he have to do it again?
Right. Can we say that it was due to Krishna being Swayam Rupa and not because of Shishupal being so absorbed? Because, if, for example, if it was Hiranyakashipu, who would be killed by Krishna, it would be the same, also get liberation?
Yeah, but the point is you still have to do it. You have to take advantage of it. So here is that, because this is the person who is always creating obstacles for you, so they're always thinking of that person. So now it took him 3 births, but then he finally was able to identify that person as Vishnu. Otherwise, before that, he just thought he was somebody very pious, because he knows what austerities he did, he knows what piety he does, and then how powerful he is. So someone more powerful, they must be just more pious. Because in his mind, he didn't get that power by pleasing the Lord, he got that power by doing pious activities. Right, but of course, those activities are rewarded by the Lord. That part he's not understanding. But now, by this 3rd birth, he is understanding it. So now he's understood this is that Supreme Lord. Right? Because you have all the names of the Lord, and all those names fit Krishna. Right. So therefore, he is the one who is his enemy. So in other words, it's bringing out is this both things. Is one is the it's this attractiveness of the Lord that creates the devotee's fortune, but the devotee must take advantage of that fortune and be focused like that. So with great concentration and constantly, then you get that benefit. Right? But it's same as pointing out is so he's getting here. So he mentions that with that prema, he attained prema, but that's prema is only of appreciating the Lord as the greatest person. It's not so much as interacting or anything. It's just his greatness. So that's generic. So that's Brahman. Right? So it's a fine point. Not that just he's great or he's the supreme. It's a matter of, it's the personal element. Because we've heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead always before this. And the Puranas describe, the Mahabharata describes, the Gita's describing. But the Bhagavatam's being very careful to bring out that it's the interaction of that person with the devotees that's special. That's the uniqueness. So we have to be able to catch that. Otherwise it's not just a generic. Does that make sense? Same time as it's simply by remembering the holy name when one leaves the body, you know, one will attain Krishna. So there's not a problem there. But the point is might as well, you know, I say, work on the process, because it says by Krishna's mercy, you'll remember the holy name. So therefore, we're working on it, trying to always be absorbed in Krishna and appreciate. Then, naturally, Krishna allows us to remember. So, yes.
So how and when he went back to Vaikuntha after Dwarkadhisa?
That it normally means at this point. Then here it generally ends with this, that they attain the Sayuja Mukti, like that. Because in other times when it happens, then it's not necessarily Swayam Krishna. But the point is they get up to this point. So then. Yeah, he it's not that. It's always Swayam Krishna, because this only happens in this time. But the difference is it's not always Jayandijai. Right? Jayandijai is just a rare pastime. Generally, there are other jivas who are actual demons who take up this part, right? And then they then get liberated, right? Because of this being absorbed in the attractive features of the Lord. Right? That makes sense. So here, then this is special. Then Jayavijay, then next come with Lord Chaitanya, and there they develop prema, and then they go back. Right? So that prema is beyond Sayuja, so it's come to the Bhagavan platform. So then they naturally go back to there.
So kind of his soul, if they get in Brahman?
Yeah. They sit in the Brahman. Soul is Brahman, Brahman's Brahman, so it all works out. No? I mean, nothing to do, of course, but so. Don't see, these demons that are killed by the Lord, because they were killed by the Lord, then they can remember that form of the Lord, and if there, then they can progress and go to Vaikuntha. But if they don't, then they'll come back to the material world, like anybody else in the Brahman.
Oh, yeah, Siddha Prabhupada said that from there, Brahman, like 99.9%.
Yeah, because generally those are the ones, if they're situated there without a form here, there's no more sadhana. So those, generally that percent will be the demons that were killed by the Lord. So when they get bored, if they remember the Lord, because now they're in a pure state, so they're not going to have any inimical feelings in that pure state, then they're going to go to Vaikuntha. Now, if someone's on the Brahman platform here, like Sukadeva or the four Kumaras, then by association with the Lord and the devotees, then they come to that platform, they develop prema in at least a neutrality, you know, if not more, you know, and then they move to Vaikuntha. So. Having stated this, Parasara remembered that Krishna liberated Putana during his childhood years, whereas Kalanemi was not liberated by the Lord's activities in another form, as Ajita. He then said, Ayam hi Bhagavan. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, in verse 549 from Vishnu Purana, 4:15:7. Not sure how that works, but
549 is the text number in Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, okay. Oh, from that quote. Okay. I was trying to figure out how in Vishnu Purana you have another whole set of, you know, verses within there. Thinking, wow, that's serious. Since Krishna is famous as Swayam Bhagavan, he immediately attracts the minds of both devotees and demons. Therefore, his glorification in this way is not surprising. Understanding in this way the clear purport of Parasara's prose by sympathetic reading, Krishna is proclaimed as even more remarkable an object of worship. Understand the clear intention, hardam, preet, heart, of the prose from taking a favorable perspective, sauhardata. Krishna is proclaimed as most worshipable. Right? So intention is always important. Right? It's not that we have to be very careful just because we find words that match what we're looking for. It has to be that's the intent of the verse. Krishna is proclaimed as most worshipable because by worshipping him, so much more can be obtained. Krishna, who by his actions gives liberation to the persons who act inimically towards the Lord, must certainly give liberation to those who have devotion for him. But more than that, he gives himself to them and becomes dependent upon them. So that's why that position is special. That by being absorbed in the Lord, then the devotee automatically will get liberation, because the demon is absorbed in chanting the Lord's holy names constantly. So the devotee who's doing, why wouldn't he get the same thing? The difference is that they'll just get liberation. So, but in this second case, he gives himself personally, right? In other words, that closeness. Because what was it? What was the term used? The sayujya, the embrace of the Lord, right? So that sayujya, that element. Here, then, is meaning that because they're only thinking in a generic way, he becomes absorbed in the Lord in that generic way, right? But if he thinks of him in that personal way, with affection, then he'll be embraced by the Lord in that aspect.
Yes.
So, does that make sense? So however you absorb yourself in the Lord, that's how the Lord will respond. Mm-hmm. So the devotees are thinking of the person. So naturally, they will get that interaction with the person. Well, the demons, even though they're inimical, they may appreciate the Lord. So that position of appreciation, which is the generic or the impersonal aspect, then that's the position they'll have.
Is that why Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he establishes that fact from the very beginning?
Yes.
By listing the five types of liberation, so the devotee is actually not interested.
Yes.
In sayujya.
Because for us, the platform of transcendence is, I mean, the position of transcendence for us is just the platform that we work from. Just like a cook likes to be in the kitchen, right? But in the kitchen, he's going to do service, right?
Active.
Yes. So the Brahman is simply the transcendental position. But the devotee wants to do service in that transcendental position. That's why he's not interested. So sayujya is automatically included in the other. Because the point is, it's just you're situated in sat, your eternity. Then within eternity, you perform activities that express one's love for Krishna. So it always works out. So it's just the devotee, the liberated platform, is just that neutral state of being there. That's why it's always pointed out that the liberation is so great, but then prema is so far beyond that. Because the soul might think going back to the position of neutrality is good enough. In the material world, the disturbance, get rid of the disturbance, come back to the neutral platform, everything's fine. But the difficulty comes is that's not good enough, right? It's prema is actually the natural position of the soul. The neutral state, you can't remain that way, because the jiva has to function under the internal or the external. He's too small, right? He has to work with these greater energies. So therefore, since he can't remain in the tatastha position, he has to take up shelter of the internal pose. You know, taking shelter in the external didn't seem to work out so great.
The sadhana platform is still neutral.
Sadhana, no, but your attitude is the platform is neutral, but the attitude is progressive. That's the whole point. See, bhava means you're back to that neutral position. But now,
The devotee is on that platform of liberation as Brahma-Bhuta, so he understands his relationship with the Lord. Therefore, he cultivates that. But those who don't, then they get stuck. You know, like the gopis that didn't go when the flute was... Because they're just functioning in that neutral platform. They're transcendental, they're in the spiritual bodies, they're in the spiritual world. They know about Krishna, but, you know, the attraction for Krishna isn't the driving force. Or not enough, at least. Because purva-raga, that complete attachment, is what's required to get into the pastimes. They don't have that complete attachment. They may have great attachment, but it's also nice being in the home and doing the duties around the house, because you're in the spiritual world. What's going to go wrong? You know, your cow dung patties are going to come out okay. The rice is not going to stick. You know, it's going to work out. There's not going to be any problems. So then they'll just get attracted by that. So they have to be very careful. That's why we're pointing out is that it's about attraction to Krishna. That love for Krishna, that's the position. It's just a matter of to express it. It's nicer to do that in the spiritual world. The facilities are nicer than in the material world. The position is the same. Someone who is on the platform of prema in the spiritual world and someone who is on the platform of prema in the material world, the position's the same. But what you have to work with is inferior. Material energy is inferior to the spiritual energy. So you have, you know, substandard stuff to work with. But you use it for Krishna. So that's not a problem for the devotee. But Krishna, you know, because of that position, he wants them to function within the internal levels. And then you can take it, because you can do that eternally. Here, there's always the problem is, whatever you have, it's temporary, it runs out. There it doesn't. Does that make sense? But more than that, he gives himself to them, so that's he interacts and becomes dependent upon them, because it's rasa. So then he's dependent upon them. How they deal with him is how he responds. So to taste rasa, he actually puts that position of his taste of rasa in the hands of the devotees. So that's relationship. That's great trust. So that's why Maya doesn't allow people that aren't trustworthy to go there. Because otherwise Krishna will give himself to you and then you won't take it seriously and then the other devotees will get upset. Therefore, Maya keeps us here. Now, here about Krishna being the cause of manifestation of all names. Some names of Narayana are used equally for Narayana and Krishna with the same cause. Some names are used for Krishna with a different cause. If you look at the Vishnu Sahasrara, there's so many of these different names are there that are names of Krishna. And Krishna is known by all these other names. So they have dual meanings. Now there'll be an explanation of the phrase Tatra Tvakilano Evasa Bhagavan Nam Nam Karanan Yabhavan. Verse 46. Krishna is the cause of the manifestation of all the names of Vishnu. The names are of two types. Those whose cause is the same for both Narayana and Krishna, and those whose cause is different when referring to Krishna. Right? Because Krishna doesn't have specifically a name. It's depending upon what he's doing. His qualities, his activities, you know, his position. These are then how the names come about. So therefore the Lord is the cause of those names. And then we know him by those names. So then there's ones that are the same for Krishna and Narayan, and there's ones that are specifically just only referring to Krishna.
It's quite interesting because it seems that Krishna is known according to how the devotee sees him.
Yes.
Therefore, Krishna can't give a name to himself.
No, that's why Krishna means the all-attractive, because all the different aspects are attractive. So that's, you can say, is your... You could say you're the most... Well, general would be the wrong word, but it's the most, let's say, pleasing name, because it's very specific and it means that all-attractive element. But at the same time, as you see with Narayan, also there's a Krishna form. And Krishna also means one who stops the repeated cycle of birth and death. Krishna means the cycle of birth and death. Na means stops. So you can't have these. So this is one of those that has a dual cause. But it's the one that's the most universal, you could say, Krishna. Examples of names used for both with the same cause are Daityari, enemy of the demons, Pundarikaksha, lotus-eyed, Sharangi, holder of the bow, Garuda Vahana, rider of Garuda, Pitambara, he who wears yellow cloth, Chakra Pani, he who holds the chakra, Sri Vatsanka, he who is ornamented with a Sri Vatsa, Chatur Bhuja, the lord with four arms. Because he is the son of Vasudeva, Krishna is called Vasudeva. Because he comes in the dynasty of Madhu, he is called Madhava. Now names whose cause is specifically Krishna alone are explained. Krishna is called Vasudeva and Damodar for these specific reasons. Does that make sense? So at points that are common between Krishna himself and what he does as Narayana, then it has both causes. So you can either get them from Krishna or from Narayana. But those things that are connected just with what Krishna does, then they'll have that flavor only. Text 72. Harivamsa says, Krishna is named Damodara because he was bound up by a cord in the yard. In this way is glorified by the gopis. Harivamsa 2736. The same work also says, Krishna, sleeping beneath a cart, killed the angry, strong, ferocious, demoness Putana with huge body, who, wearing the dress of a nurse, had given her breast covered with poison to him. When the cowherd people saw that dead demoness and concluded that Krishna had been reborn, they called him Adhoksaja, born from beneath the axle of a cart. Footnote 1. Nanda thought that Krishna had been saved from death by good fortune. Thus he was considered born again. So Krishna is the original born again. Okay. Didn't mention a guitar, though. So Adhoksija comes from that time, and then he's also Vishnu has him. Harivamsa 158:30-32. Sridhara explains in his commentary that Krishna was called Adhoksija because he was as if born again under the axle of the cart. Text 76. It is also said there, the people constantly praise you on earth as Govinda, because just as I am the king of the Devatas, you are the king of the cows. Harivamsa 2.9.45. Krishna was the controller of the Kamadhenus, and thus is called Govinda. It is also said there, the Devatas of heaven praise you as Upendra, O Krishna, because the cows have established you, the Lord, above me as the real Indra. Upari, Indra. Upendra. Right? So that's interesting, because you always hear about Indra associated with Upendra. So there's Indra and Upari Indra. You know, they're brothers, so it works out. Even though he's shorter. Harivamsa 2.9.26. It is said in the Vishnu Purana, Narad Muni said, O Janardana, since you killed the evil Keshi demon, you will be known in this world as Keshava. Vishnu Purana 5.16.23. So you also have these as pastimes, just as Krishna gets his Sudarshan Chakra, you know, from the Devatas and all that. You know, just so that it comes out nicely. So he gets these names, the devotees give these names or, you know, situations on his names, but they're actually his eternal names. Yes.
Keshava does not mean also the one who has long black hair.
It'll have that also, but that'll be another aspect of it. But here is he's killed the Keshi demon, so he's Keshava. These are examples of names which have a different cause when they are used to describe Krishna.
The reason that these names are used for Krishna are different from the reasons that they're used for Narayan. Right, so they might be what you're thinking of, then that's a generic name. So Narayan also has very nice hair. But here he's the killer of the Keshi demon, so that's just Krishna. Like in Hoksaja, it's just Krishna's name because he's born, you know, again under the axle of the cart. Right? So in other words, you have to know what's the cause. So yeah. The reasons that these names are used for Krishna are different from the reasons that they are used for Narayana. What is the question of liberation for the demons and haters of the Lord from other forms of the Lord? Unless they are killed by the hand of Krishna, they cannot attain liberation. This is understood from the use of the word eva twice in the Gita, in the verses where Krishna says, mam aprapya eva, not attaining me, Bhagavad Gita 16:19-20. So then Krishna is giving that evidence. It's only when he kills the demons, then they get liberated. Otherwise, the others we see, it's just like Nara Narayan killed, who is it? I can't remember his name. But that big, big demon, and then he came again as Karna.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? You know, and so he's talk about material piety. He's born to Kunti, and from the sun god himself. Right, and then he got the whole kingdom of Anga, right? This is, we're sitting in the kingdom of Anga, you know, like that. And so all these different things are there. So he had great facility. Right? So all these demons, you see them coming back again. You always hear about how this demon was that demon before and this one is that. But they're all killed by the Lord, but they come again. So we don't think about it. But at the same time, we know when Krishna kills demons, they get liberated. So this is the difference. When Krishna does, they get liberated. When he takes any other form, then they don't. Yeah. No? Yeah.
So it's not exactly right to say that Krishna, Narayan, and they're all same. On one level, they are same, but also they are different.
Yes.
Means it's not a complete...
No, it means the point is both are correct. It's that you have to know is that the sameness means it's the same person. The difference is how much of his specialness he's manifesting. You know, it's just like you know, the example is the high court judge sitting on the bench is manifesting, you know, great experience and wisdom and knowledge and all those different things. And so, therefore... the members of the core people, other people within the state, you know, the lawyers, everybody else, other judges who are not high court, they all respect him for his prowess. But the amount of personality he manifests there is very small. But then when he goes home and he's, you know, with the wife and the children or with his friends, he's manifesting much more of his personality. It's the same person. It's just how much is manifest. So it's a problem then, you know, Vishnu is Krishna at the office. You know, so how much of your personality do you manifest at the office? Right? Not a lot, you know, like that. So that's the point. It's the same person, but it's only when he's appearing as Krishna that he's manifesting enough of the personality that becomes attractive even to the demons. So remembering Krishna at the time of death, then, because they're always killed by one of Krishna's weapons. So then naturally, those weapons are devotees. So getting that devotee association, they're freed of all impurities, so then they attain liberation. Text 8182. I cast those hateful, cruel, and lowest of humans, constantly doing evil deeds, into repeated birth and death in the wombs of demons, taking birth as demons, birth after birth. These fools, not being killed by my hand, then go to the lowest status of life, O son of Kunti. Bhagavad Gita 16:19-20. Also, it's mentioned those lowest of humans, because the point is here is that you have people that could know or do know about Vishnu, but are ignoring. That's what makes them Naradama. Because Muda is generally too foolish to really understand what's going on. Right? So they're smart, sophisticated. You know. Mam aprapya means not being killed by my hand. As long as those who hate me do not contact me in the form of Krishna, they attain low birth. This is clearly stated, right? So the demons, it's a low birth. It doesn't mean that they may not have facility, but it's a low birth. Because birth is according to what is closer to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? It's not about how you have more facility. We would say low birth means, you know, that they have nothing. But it means no, it's that they're farther away from Krishna. That's lower birth. So that's the problem. Is humans generally tend to be closer because they'll follow the laws of God. Subhumans tend to not. Right? The divine follow, the demoniac don't. So therefore, that's the... It's not about position, power, wealth. It's about the connection to the Lord. Therefore, of the three forms of Nrisinga, Rama, and Krishna, Krishna is the best. This is not astonishing because the nature revealed in Krishna is not seen in the others. What is astonishing about this? There should be no astonishment because his nature, having a full manifestation of qualities, such as giving liberation to the demons, is not seen in Nrisinga or Rama. So he just doesn't manifest. You know, it's just, one can say, well, why not? But the point is he's already doing that. You know, it's just like, you know, you get up in the morning, you go into the kitchen, you know, you're making breakfast, but you know, you expand yourself, and you don't make breakfast. You go out and get the newspaper. Does that make sense? You know, so you're doing. You wouldn't do the same thing. You're already doing it.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the point. So therefore, as Krishna, he's always doing this level of things. So Nrisinga and Rama, they do other things. Yes.
Are they in which category?
They're in this overall category, but it seems to be not mentioning them at this point.
Because those are Swayam Prakash.
I don't have my book to look at the pictures.
Those are the highest level. After
yes, no, but all what we're discussing now is all that top level. So in other words, this part of Asta. Yeah, Paravastha. Paravastha. Then that is, you have Swayam Krishna himself, then you have his expansion as Balaram, then you have these other Vilas expansions that are still in the Swayam category, Nrisinga and Ramachandra. Right? Then you have the elements where whatever is the form that Krishna has, he expands himself. Generally only Krishna does it. You don't hear Balaram taking many forms or Nrisinga or like this. So it's like Nrisinga wants to expand, he just gets more arms, that's all. But Krishna, like with the queens of Dwarka or with the Rasa dance, he'll expand, but he'll have exactly the same mood, so that's one category. But when he expands into different forms and there's a different mood, that's a different category. So then Balaram and Nrisinga and Rama are in that category. But he's only been discussing the Nrisinga and Rama so far. So we'll see, because you know, we have another 400 some odd verses to go in this section. Okay. So here also he uses what is astonishing. It means it's amazing. But his point is it's not an amazing understanding position of Krishna. You know, means if God does something amazing, that's standard for him. It's not amazing that he does something amazing. So they're not saying that the quality is not astonishing, but that he has that quality, that's not astonishing, because he's God. And he's the supreme. He's the origin. Text 85. Because Krishna is Swayam Rupa, it is stated in the Swayambhuva Agama, in the chapter describing the 14-syllable mantra, that Rama and Nrisinga are worshipped as the Avarana deities of Krishna. Because Krishna is the Swayam Rupa, in the discussion of the 14th syllable mantra, Rama and Nisringa, are worshipped as Avarna deities of Krishna. There it is said. The four, starting with Vasudeva, holding great powers, are worshipped in the four cardinal directions, starting with east. And then in the other directions, the forms of the Supreme Lord of Great Wonder, Rama, Nisringa, Kurma, and Vamana, are worshipped. Sure, if that's the order, but yeah.
So now, what is this Avarana deity?
Means when you're dealing with the Yogapit.
Yes.
Then means this is the origin of your whole Vastu Shastra and all these other things like that. All these technical points is that the deity is sitting in his place.
Yes.
So that place where he's sitting, that's the Brahmastan,
yes,
or the Yogapit, the
yes,
Brahmastan. Then around him are the other aspects. So therefore, he must be there. And then, because we generally hear about it with the Shaktis, or even most know on the level with it's the demigods.
Yes.
Right? So in the east, you know, then is we have Vasudeva.
Yes.
Right? Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha.
Yes.
Right? And so then the point is that that's those four directions. Then in the corners,
yes,
because you always have the direction, then next to that.
Yes.
Right? You have east, then next to east.
Yes.
Then south, next to south. Yes. West, next to west, like this. So then that will be Rama, Nisringa,
yes,
Kurma, and Vamana.
Yes.
So then you have all the eight deities. So that's one system of worship. Right? Then there's the elements, like Rupa Goswami gives the same thing. You have Radha and Krishna, but then you have the Astasakis,
yes,
starting with Lalita in the east.
Yes.
And then it goes around, so then you get everybody.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always the point of the Lord being there, and that this is the very formal Pancharatric levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing that we're still trying to figure out which end of the Achman spoon to hold on to, then we generally don't get to these kind of things, right? Like that. Because these are technical. People who have that ability, the technical is natural, then these things are just ways to engage. But for us, it's about the attractive qualities of Krishna that attract us. So we focus on those five main things that, out of all this, what's important to Krishna. Right? The nice dress, nice food, nice ornaments, nice flowers, nice scents. And that's what creates that attraction. And the technical puja, then some are do and most don't. Is that, so the point is here also, the point being made here is, he's Swayam Rupa, therefore he's in the center. And then around him are these other. So the Chaturvyuha, they're in the cardinal directions because they're the you know, that formal vilas element.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then on this side, then the you could say your pastime vilas elements, then that is these four. Right? So you have both aspects. Just like when you come down out of Swayam Rupa, then you can drop down into, or what was that term? Ekatma? Ekatmaka?
Yes.
Tadekatmaka. That's this whole group.
Yes.
In other words, you have the whole Tadekatmaka group here.
Mm-hmm.
You have Swayam Rupa here, and then you have the Vilas in the formal form that's going to be the Chaturvyuha, which is more like functionary, and then you're going to have the Vilas that's going to be how you say? Pastimes.
Lila.
Yeah, Lila. Right? Then when you drop down into the next group, right, then that's divided again into Vilas, meaning the Chaturvyuha and their expansions.
Yes.
You know, that functioning element. Or into Svamsa, which then has all these activities, but then, you know, specifically Leelas or just Gunas or Manvantara avatars or Yuga avatars or Avesha avatars. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the Vilas element is a general term meaning that they've expanded, but they don't manifest the full potency of who they've expanded from. Right? So in here, meaning saying that they're, what's the word? Paravastha. It's amazing. Short-term memory doesn't work so good. Long-term, I can remember things from like back in the 70s. No, that's another thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's what we're trying to establish here. So this quote is being brought out, not that we're getting into this kind of worship. This is not what Rupa Goswami is recommending. He's bringing it out to show that Krishna is the supreme. Mm-hmm. And then these other aspects of the Ekatma Rupa, then they're expanded from that and around.
Right.
That makes sense. Because all these others expand from Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, you know, or Kirudakshay Vishnu anyway, on the next level down. So if you have the other aspects of the Ekatma Rupa, and then you have the aspects of Vilasa, then technically you've covered everybody.
Yes.
Right? If you have Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Advaita, you've covered everybody. Because Lord Chaitanya is the Swayam, is the original form. Then Balaram is that original form, but in a different personality. Right? And then Advaita is that aspect of the Chaturvyuha.
Yes.
Right? So then you covered all the Vishnu forms by mentioning these three. So again, here's the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
86. There is the following objection. Okay, someone may complain. Right? But it is said in the scriptures such as Mahavaraha Purana, all the forms of the Lord are eternal, appearing constantly within the material world with bodies of Paramatma, without any destructible elements made of Prakriti. They are completely filled with the highest bliss and knowledge, full of all good qualities and devoid of all faults. Right, because they could say, well, here you're saying that there's a difference. No, we're saying they're the same here. Because one Krishna becomes many forms, it is proper to say that he is always complete. For it is said, Eko pi san bahudha yo vibhati. The one form of Krishna becomes many. Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Therefore, it cannot be said that sometimes the Lord is incomplete, for it is impossible to break the Lord into pieces. Some persons object in this way. The proof that all forms are perfect is then given from Matsya Purana. Again and again, the forms appear within the material world. Though one cannot distinguish the body of the Lord from the Lord, a distinction is made here, just as one says, the form of the conscious soul. There is no difference between the form and the soul. They are without destructible elements, since everything in the Lord is non-different from his Swarup. Just as because it's being mentioned, if you're saying then it's less, then it's something incomplete, right? That's the whole point that comes up. If you're not manifesting all the qualities, then there's some incompleteness. But the point is, no, he's still complete. It's just a matter of how much you manifest. That because it's the personal element. See, the difficulty is depending upon the situation, we get confused by the personal or by the tattva, by the facts. So generally, it's when it's one, then we get confused with the other. So here's that they're getting confused, that we're saying they're not manifesting full quality, so it appears that there's an incompleteness. But the point is it's in rasa. Depending upon who you're interacting with, you're naturally going to manifest different qualities. Is that something? Yeah. Just as the Vaidurya gem glows blue, yellow, and other colors, so the Lord by different meditation attains different forms. Just as the Vaidurya gem shows variety because of having many different colors, but does not become less in any of these displays, so the Lord assumes many forms which are never less. Right? We're just talking about what he manifests. It's not about that it's less. The Vaidurya stone, whether it's glowing blue, yellow, or other colors, it's not less, it's just different. So that was the whole discussion before Visesha, the specialness. There's a specialness there, and that's why you identify him as Nisringa, because he's half man, half lion. That's special. Right?
Yes.
when it says by different meditations, does it mean different moods of the Lord or different meditation of the devotee?
The devotee. Because the point is that he's going to manifest you depending on how you see him. Right? You know, if all you ask for is money, then his form is that of, you know, Daddy Warbucks, right? You know, so you have to know. If you're always worried about him and that he's going to get you for doing something wrong, then he's going to appear as, you know, the judge. You know, so that's the whole thing, is he reciprocates how you see him. Yes.
Then according to the situation, you might see him differently.
Yes. So that's why the same person appears differently. When he walks into the arena in Mathura,
yes.
You get 15 different ways of seeing the same person.
But we want to see Krishna.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
So we just stick to that.
Yes, but how do you stick to that? That's the science. Yes, here, okay. But here, if we're talking Rupa, then Rupa is then serving Radharani. Radharani sees the Krishna that we want to see. You understand?
Yes.
Means we're not going to see that Swayam Krishna in Braj unless we're assisting Radharani. It's just not going to happen. Because he, that complete form of Godhead, means you're only going to see all those qualities if there's a complete counterpart that is relating to all those. And it says, so Radharani is the only one who actually sees Braja Krishna in full. Right? Other gopis won't. So only those gopis assisting Radharani see that Krishna. That's why we're very specific about who we're following. So this idea is, oh, it doesn't matter, we're all going to the same place. That's not a full understanding. Same place, mean if you mean Goloka, means, you know, 51% of the three quarters of the unlimited cosmos. Yes, we'll be together there. But if you're talking about you want to be in a specific situation, then you have to be following the right people. It's not arbitrary. Right? If you're whimsical, the Lord's whimsical. If you're specific, then he's specific. So you want to see Braja Krishna, you have to be following Radharani. You want to follow Radharani, then in that mood you have to be following Rupa Goswami.
So, in all aspects of Godhead, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, it seems that it manifests based on the relationship of the devotee with Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
So it's kind of it's overwhelming. It's like, so what's Krishna's original form? Because then
means what Radharani is seeing. That's his
original. So Radharani is really the Godhead.
No,
because what Krishna looks like.
That's because that's why it says he's manifest through his internal potency. So Krishna and his potency are non-different. So that form is his original form. Because she's the original energy.
Right.
Then both of them expand.
Yes.
And then you have all these expanded forms.
Yes.
You know, so as Krishna expands as Balaram, Radharani expands as Ananga, and these other aspects that are connected with Balaram.
Yes.
You know, as it goes down to, you know, Mahavishnu, then she's Rama Devi. You know, so it all goes together. So that original, that's why this is unique, that's never been given before. You know, so it's not that Vrindavan hasn't been known. The Shris talk about Vrindavan. The Madhvas talk about Vrindavan. One day I went in Udupi, went to take darshan, you know, and you go up to, you know, that little window with all the nine holes in it, and I looked inside, and I saw this little girl, you know, this little girl, you know, the head covered and everything like that, sitting on a swing. And it's kind of like, where's Udupi Krishna? That was Udupi Krishna. You know, he dressed up as a gopi. So they have these pastimes like that. The Shris consider
one of their of the Alwars, Andal, to be an ISKCON devotee, because all she did was talk about Krishna and Vrindavan, like that, exclusively. There's another few of the Alwars talk in some of their prayers talked about Krishna and Vrindavan, but she only talks about him. She doesn't talk about anybody else. So that's been given. Nimbarka is given Vrindavan, spontaneous devotional service, Radha and Krishna and all of that, but not Braja Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no separation. So it's a different Vrindavan. It's Vrindavan, but a different Vrindavan, because there's many aspects of Vrindavan, just like there's many aspects of Vaikuntha.
So I have a related question about this, which has been bugging me for a long time.
How long is long?
At least in this life.
Oh, okay.
When it says in the Shastras, Radha and Krishna are one.
Yes.
But then they become two.
Yes.
This terminology of becoming two in the level of eternality doesn't, I can't put it together, because there's no certain time when they become two. They are eternally two.
Yes.
So how do you understand become?
It's a matter of moving, because Krishna is always Atmarama, so he's always the Supreme Lord, who he and his energies are non-different, so you don't, there's no separate manifestation. I think the Acharyas describe it as Krishna, and there's kind of like flash, this kind of like this subtle flashing of lightning. So it's just him and his energy. They're one thing. They're not, there's not a separate manifestation, but because he desires, therefore there's that element. So if you're dealing in eternal time, any time in eternal, when he decides to do that, then it's still eternal. Right? See, the thing is we're working with inferior intellectual capacity.
That's right. You know? Right. You can't actually...
You know, there's only so much you can fit into, you know, a pea. You know, like that, you know. Like that. So that's the... that's the difficulty. Because we have the feeling of eternal, but we can't actually intellectually comprehend of it. Because generally when we feel eternal, it's when we're, it's in relation to something we really appreciate. You know, you're happy, then you feel this should go eternally.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, that. Because that's the nature of the soul. That's actually mm-hmm. symptoms of the soul. But the soul is identifying with the subtle and gross body, so therefore we're using this material intelligence. And it's limited. That's why it's said it's only when it's revealed by Krishna, then that with that is spiritual intelligence, then it can be understood. And the thing is in Braj, they don't really care. Because it's about Krishna. It's they're not worried about when he started all this. You know, was it Thursday afternoon, or was it, you know, Sunday morning, or, you know, when was it, you know? So, like that. So that's the principle, is that it can be appreciated. Because eternal is eternal. Because the point is, it's coming from the eternal, so therefore it doesn't have any difficulty. Here there's a beginning and end of everything. But there, technically, there isn't. There's just changing of the flavors and that, things like that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I finally got the answer.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's simple,
isn't it? That's the interesting thing is we crack our head over things that are actually so simple.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. You know, that's what I said. It's not astonishing because, you know, Krishna's so perfect. So it's
not astonishing to Rupa Goswami. What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the matter?
Yeah.
So now here we discuss the bona fide forms of the Lord.
Yes.
But what about those people who speculate and they think, oh, we discard our Lord and this and that, and what is it? Is it the real form, or is just...
You're talking about like Ra or stuff like that? Or?
Yeah, Ra, or, you know, so many things are there.
Baal and stuff, you know, okay. No, it's that those forms aren't there. They're just taking, like in a dream. A dream, your dreams are only about things that you've experienced. But you take things that you've experienced and put them together in very unique ways. Yes. You know, it probably says you see gold, you see a mountain, and in your dream you put together a golden mountain. So they have seen a man, you know, with two arms. They have seen a tunic, right? And they have seen a bird. And so then, you know, they put together man in tunic with bird head, right? Right. So they're only doing that. But the qualities that they're looking for in them, you know, that this one controls the heavens, this one controls, you know, the waters, this one controls that, that's correct, that Krishna is doing those things. But those aren't the forms that he's doing them through. You know, but if you relate to him at, in those forms, so every time you see that form, you develop that reverence and deal properly, then he'll reciprocate. But it's not that that form is actually doing it. Therefore, the statement, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Moses' God is God. Because there's not, because here you're dealing with the personality, not with the forms that they're imagining that he comes through.
Yeah.
So that's the point, is you don't imagine, but there are bona fide forms. So you have that lower state, which is you imagine forms, so that's not recommended. Then you the neutral state, where you understand he has no material form, so we shouldn't imagine. So that's okay, that's more pious. But it's still not as pious as, or as advanced as understanding there's bona fide forms.
Okay. And those forms are only given by the Vedas.
Yes. No, you don't see them other places like that. You understand. You hear about qualities, because like Moses, you know, you don't get a whole lot from seeing the lower back. You know, you know. I think it's the right side. I think it was specifically. You know, you don't get a lot out of that. So they don't. These aren't described because he's thinking that God is, you know, so great and powerful. Therefore, he reciprocates like that. The Lord Krishna will reciprocate however you see. You think I'm doing this thing, it's bad, you know, if I was doing that and I'm in charge, I would think it's upset, therefore then he's going to be very upset. No. So the whole point is it means maybe, you know, we're seeing God as the Father or God, it's like this, but it's basically fear is the fundamental point. So therefore then he responds that way. You want to see him as fear, therefore, you know, he'll take on those fearful forms. You know, you know. So that's just like, what is it? I'm not sure if it's Kunti brings it up. I know that the four Kumaras, I think, bring it up to the Hamsa avatar. But the same kind of question comes up. I'm not sure if Kunti didn't bring it up. That when will the sense, the mind.
That's
Devahuti to Kapila. When will the mind be separated from the senses? Because it's always absorbed in the senses. When will that happen? So that way then I will be peaceful in advance. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, that's not a real question, because that can never happen. The point is you transfer it from thinking of forms that are mundane to forms that are spiritual. Activities are mundane to it, but the concept of separating the sense and the sense, the mind, the sense objects, that's not going to happen. Right? You change how the mind perceives things. Then when the mind looks through the sense at the sense object, it doesn't see it as a position of sense gratification. Does that make sense? So the whole thing is therefore it's not the real position. So that's being said very nicely by the Lord. Because it's on the platform of the Kumaras, and it's on the platform of transcendence and knowledge and that, so it can be said nicely. But here then you have the case where it's about, I do an activity, I'm going to get the result. And then if I'm doing the activity I shouldn't be doing, because I know I shouldn't be doing it, then God's going to get very upset. And, you know, how you say, we'll be, you know, smote one with a thunderbolt or something, you know, some equally, how you say, dramatic, you know, thing. So therefore, when he comes down the mountain and they're all, you know, dancing around the golden calf, therefore, then the earth opens up and they all fall in. Now, the point is God would know about that before Moses got there. You know, they didn't make that calf just when he started walking down. They'd been working on that for a while. You know, so God could have already done that before. But you wait until Moses gets there, and then they connect Moses, God, you know, and all this, and then, you know, then the earth opens, they fall in. So then Moses understands God's not happy. They understand God's not happy. Everybody understands God's not happy. Only the golden calf doesn't understand. It doesn't say whether the golden calf fell inside. It doesn't know. Okay. You know, why would you waste gold?
That tradition.
Yeah. So the whole point is that this is how they're looking at God, so that's how he responds. Because otherwise, it could be done very pleasantly also, if that was how people would deal. If they're seeing that way, he would deal that way. Does that make sense? So this whole point is that it's all about how the devotee sees the Lord. That's how he reciprocates. That's what's so unique. So that's why it's not just that you technically know something or you've connected, you know, you're in the process, but it's who you've connected yourself to, right? You know, it means in the world, it's who you know and everything like that. So same thing, it's who you know in the spiritual world. It's where you're going to get placed. So it's the whole, where does that come from? So it's all about, the mood is the most important thing. There's a quote, I remember saying, you know, it's one of those, because it's Shastra, you can't just find things when you want, it's when they reveal themselves. So it came across once where Prabhupada was saying that the most important thing you can get from the spiritual master is the mood.
Yes.
Because that's what places you in that specific, particular place in the spiritual world. So that's why this thing, so when they play with the mood, or, oh, Prabhupada doesn't know, he's from the spiritual world, what does he know in the material world, you know, this is the modern place, it's very sophisticated, very developed, you know, his you know, experiences from 100 years ago, what does he know about modern today, you know, these kind of things means they completely miss the whole point of what it means having a spiritual master. It's about the mood, how you view whatever the situation, that's what's important. It's not about if you know how to use the internet or not. It means how many people really know how to. You know, they just make it so it works for you. You push this button, it comes up on the screen. You push that button, it goes away. You know, you push this one, you buy. You push this one, it says send. You know. So therefore, they made it simple. But the nerds, they can tell you exactly what's going on and all that. You know, it's just like you say, my computer's doing this, you know, I can't understand. Oh, that's easy. And then they go through about 50, you know, adjustments to make it work. And they call that easy, right? You know, easy means you push the button, it goes on, and you start your work. That's easy. You know. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. It's all about the mood. So that's why he's pointing out there's a mood difference here. That's what makes Krishna the supreme. Because his mood accommodates everything. It's the most attractive. So if only certain aspects are attractive, then Krishna is all attractive. Even the demons are attracted to him. You know, they find him very attractive. Yes.
So it seems like what we discover now, Srila Prabhupada already gave us right in the beginning, worship Gaur Nithai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Krishna, Nrisinga, and Brahma.
Yes.
That's all he gave. He didn't give anything else.
No. It means of Vishnu forms, then it's centered around Krishna, but these others who are part of us, then, yes, then we worship. Or we see as then Varaha and Vamana. Remember it said that those were two Leela avatars that came in as Manvantara avatars. So they're in a special position.
Yeah.
And those are the only other two. So Varaha Dwadasi and Vamana Dwadasi. Lord Chaitanya mentioned those. So you have, he didn't mention, of course, you know, Lord Chaitanya's appearance, his own. But he mentioned about Janmastami, Radhastami, you know, Balaram, Nrisinga, and Rama and Vamana Dwadasi and Varaha Dwadasi. And these are our major festivals, right, you know, in the way of like that. Because they're in a unique position. So you see, when Rupa Goswami is going through, he's bringing out that they're in the special position. All of them. Yes?
When you were talking about Radha Krishna Vrindavan, if you don't go through Rupa, then you don't get the complete manifestation because that's done through Radha. But others who go to Radha, not through...
That's another thing. That means we're as jivas. That's our door. It means Lalita Vishaka and that. It means, in other words, whoever's connected with Radharani, but they're connected at a different level. Right? Because they are the expansions of Radharani. Like that. So that's another thing. But then we're jivas, so then we can come into the, the maidservant door. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our...
But anyone who goes to Radha, they'll get the full manifestation?
Yes, means if they are assisting Radharani in her pastimes, because she, in other words, that's why all the gopis are there. It's not, the other gopis don't really want to be with Krishna themselves. They want to arrange Radharani to be with Krishna. Now, if Radharani arranges that they're with Krishna, that's another thing, because she's arranged it. But the other point is that Radha and Krishna together, everybody else wants to watch. Because then you're seeing that Swayam Krishna, that complete manifestation. Right? And because she's the unlimited energy, she will be constantly changing and making variety, so you're constantly seeing fresher and newer forms of Krishna. So that's what that's being offered. So these others who are following, you know, the competition and everything else, they don't see that. So that's why it's not good enough to, oh, if we get into Vrindavan, we just, you know, like that, or we want to be a Shaki. But the point is why would you want to be a Shaki? You know, unless that Shaki is assisting with Radharani, then it works. You know, but then it's limited. You can deal in certain pastimes. Certain pastimes you can. The maidservant can deal in all those pastimes. So it's actually a better position. You get to see the widest range. But the point is all these things are being arranged, and so therefore Lalita doesn't have a problem because she is that potency. She arranges it what she does. Like you see is when Radha and Krishna first come together, when they meet at Govindastali, then Lalita, having taken the group there, she immediately goes off to the beach to see that the rasa dance is set up.
Yes.
Right? And then Radha and Krishna interact and all that. Then she comes back. You know, because now it's ready. Now she's going to take them to that next pastime. She expects to see that Radha and Krishna have been interacting, but as a equal to Radharani in that rasa, as a Shaki. Therefore, there's going to be the element of the chivalry. And, oh, you know, okay, we know what's going on here. And that kind of thing. So naturally, as a reciprocation of that, Radharani then tries to not be seen in that way. Therefore, then, Rupa Goswami arranges with the maid service to redress Radharani perfectly, exactly as she was before. So when Lalita, you know, so when they're nicely just sitting there, when Lalita comes in, it's kind of like, nothing happened, what's going on here? And then they're all laughing, you know, but not out loud, of course, you know, but, you know, so the ecstasy is that they trick Lalita. But you can only do that because she's greater, she's the shelter of the maid service. So you can only do that by Radharani's yogamaya level, right? So, you know, just as Balaram can't understand what's happening at Krishna's yogamaya level, therefore Lalita can't understand what's happening at Radharani's level. You know, but because the maidservants, so they're junior to that, they took part in that, they can see that. And so this is what's being offered, is that vision to be able to see that way. So we started that by Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of Scripture. But if we say, no, but we're in the West, we want to see how we want to see, great. But, you know, it's a long way away from Radha Krishna's pastimes. You know, it's just about, I'm not going to follow the authority. The authority's got it wrong for you know, this age and this and that. And we got it right. And we know what we're doing. And we, you know, we're Westerners. We're special. We're special. Yes, Mlechas and Yavanas are special compared to human beings. But it's not the kind of specialness that you kind of like promote, you know? And so then you can do that, but these major points that it means, you know, they seem like minor points here, but it's just like, you know, what Prabhupada says, that if you're off by just, let's say, a thousandth of a degree,
Here you won't notice it. Even after 10 feet you won't notice it, or 100 feet you won't notice much. But between here and Goloka, you're going to notice it. You're going to be somewhere else. You may not even get there. You know, you may bump into some planet on the way that you weren't supposed to. You know, so it's just, it's, that's why these things are very delicate. You know, that's to be the term bull in a china shop. Like, the bull doesn't know the value of the china it's dealing with. So therefore, the Vedic culture and these subtleties, if they're not appreciated, then it's a bull in a china shop. They're just stomping on breaking things and not knowing what they did. And there's, I'm strong, I'm cool, I'm okay. Hey. But they just don't know what to do. So that's why these things are very delicate. That's why Rupa goes through like this, exactingly, you know, cutting the points. And Jiva Goswami does the same thing. So if you think, what's the point of all this? You know, it's not about Lajna, it's about bhakti. But the point is you have to actually exactly know what's bhakti. So if that pray that you hear about it, you just take to that, that's fine. But if there's all these other doubts and, you know, what about this and that, then these exact things, then get it exactly online. Otherwise, then many times one has to be careful that one doesn't end up very far off the mark, you know, which we see is, you know, not an unpopular thing these days.
You know. How do the Nimbaks go through? Who do they go through?
There on either side, that means on one side is Vrindadevi and the other side is Sukadev. So where we have Lalita and Vishakha, they have Vrinda and Sukadev. So that's the thing about the Yogpeet is important. We just take it, that's important because it shows who's standing where. And it's just like when we use the, like in the Yajna and all those things, we use the order that Rupa Goswami gives, that the Astasakis in, and that's how we've named. How here, that's the order that Rupa Goswami gives. So others give different orders, depending upon what their mood is. Because being the complete, maybe basically your full energies, you know, it means it's the one is divided into eight. So there's all kinds of common things between them. So each one can stand in different places. You know, like any one of them can be the guru, or any one of them can be the dynamic element, or any one of them can be the religious element. So they can stand anywhere. But so we want to get that vision that Rupa sees. So that's, therefore, we use that yoga beat. That makes sense. Because otherwise, sometimes, you know, different orders are given. But that, depending upon who you're following, then you get different orders. So it means they all work out. But it's just how you see who. Just like, you know, one person sees, one person is guru, and another person they may not see as any consequence. But another person sees that person you don't see in consequence as guru. You know, so you get all these things. So, you know, we have an exact line. If you can stick to that, then you can be trusted. And if you can't stick to that, you can't be trusted. You know, if it's whimsical. The problem with Sahaji is they're whimsical. And they don't care about what's the actual form. It's a matter of whatever I feel like. And so they can't be trusted. Therefore, they can't be led into the spiritual world. No, that's the difficulty. You know, no one would trust them. You know, so that this whole thing of that, you know, one guru and then drop off to the next one and then off to the next one and off to the next one. Who's going to trust such a person? You know, all you have to do is be dead and then it's time to move on to the next one. You know, what is that got to do with reality? You know, so who's going to trust them? You know, so there's a lot more at stake here than meets the eye. You know, that's the thing. We in our own way simplify it down what works for in our kind of thing. But if one's speculative, then no, you work exactly. You do what you're told. You know, that's why that you see that prayer. I think it's maybe Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you know, it means you're fanning the fan. You know, the Radha Krishna in the Kunja, the fan is there, they're pulling the rope and, you know, enjoying the whole pastime. Rupa Goswami says, leave the fan. Go get flowers. It's not, well, I'm having a great time here. I'm already Krishna conscious. Hey, you know, why, you know,
right? You know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know, hey, you know, you could say all kinds of things here, but no, you just leave the fan and go get flowers. Because even though that's nice, then that's going to be nice and Radharani is happy. But what's going to be even more fun is when Lalita comes and Radharani looks as if she hasn't been in the kunja. That's going to be more fun. You know, that's the conclusion of the pastime, because they've done all that and it looked like they didn't. Now it's complete. So therefore, Madan Mohan is complete. Then you move on to Govinda. You know, so you're tasting all these elements. They have to know what they're doing. So this idea is, no, I'll do what I want. No, it's not about doing what you want. It means you want to be involved in this, you volunteer for that, but then you do what you're told. Right? Because they know better. Like that. You know, this idea is, you know, I'll just work it out. It's very whimsical. So it's actually sahajya. Sahaj just means easy, that's all. Right. And you don't worry about authority, you don't worry about scriptures, you don't worry about rituals. That's the definition of sahajya. It's actually their philosophy, it's the principle of it. It's not that that's what we say, that's what they say. Right? You know, you go up to someone, you know, these guys, these Babaji guys, what sampradaya, you know, they'll say sahajya. It's not that it's a bad word. You know, it's just like, okay, you know, over in some places in the world, you say, you know, oh, he's American. You know, it's a bad word. But, you know, Americans, where are you from? America. You know, so it's just the terms they use. So that's the definition. The reason it's sahaj or easy is because we don't worry about all this philosophy, don't worry about all this ritual. It's just all taken back. And so it's just about Bob. That's their philosophy. You know, so then if we take back, we don't worry about authority, don't worry about ritual, we don't worry about philosophy, and just do what we feel like, you know, because we happen to be from this part of the world or that part of the world, what's the difference? Like that. What's the difference? So that's why Rupa Goswami is going to such care to see that these things are very exact, that we know what it means that Krishna is these things and that. Because the gopis, when they go through this, it's like we see is that Lalita in her kunja, in Radha kunja. So it means that, in other words, it's in the highest position in the cosmos. And on the walls in decorating her kunja are pictures of Krishna killing the demons. So this idea is, oh, the gopis don't care for that. Nice, come on, hey. Right. You know, who doesn't want a boyfriend who can remove any obstacle that's there, right? You know, so hey, now that's cool. You know, so these things are there. Krishna doesn't behave nicely. You know, he's being too clever and stuff. So the gopis say, you don't know how to deal with women. They say, what do you mean? You know, says, you know, you cut off Suparnika's nose. So they know he's wrong, but it's not his form as Ram that's attractive to them, it's Krishna. But it's the same person, it's exactly the same. So they're able to relate like that. So that's the whole point, is these are the level at which the Braja Gopis function, is that they being the original source of all other incarnations of the expansions of the internal potency and the demigods and any Shakti that there is, then they can relate any of that to Krishna because it's coming from him. And so then in the pastime, they can work at any of those levels to bring out the taste. Then you have to be able to tell the difference. Otherwise then, oh no, but how can you mention that? Because that's a, you know, because that's it. You can't just enjoy the kunja. Wow, nice paintings. No, oh, but what are these demons? Oh, these are gopis. Why aren't they about, you know, nice flowers and lotuses? You know, so therefore, you know, that's why it's not there. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll stop.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaurav.